So, Davey Naylor, my Willie matters. Why does Willie matter to you?
Well, because, you know, there's a really great bit at the end of the movie where he jumps over the little boy, you know, and he's really good, and he splashes back into the water. And then they made a sequel, and then they made another one. And, you know, Free Willy is, you know, because he was one of the, you know, one of my favourite actors in the 60s, and he had the first kiss with a black woman on Star Trek, and, you know, William Shatner is just...
William Shakespeare, mate.
Never heard of him.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 333, My Willie Matters. Those were students from Bermuda High School and Saltus Grammar School in Hamilton, Bermuda, wishing William Shakespeare, or as he's known to some listeners of the Reduced Shakespeare radio show, Willie the Hat Shakespeare, a happy birthday. Today, as I record, edit, and hopefully post this podcast, it is Tuesday, April 23rd, William Shakespeare's confirmed death day, and the day we've all agreed to recognize as his birthday, too. He was baptized on April 26th, and the baptisms generally happened 3 days after a baby was born back then, so that's why we celebrate his birthday on the 23rd. We've agreed to agree, okay? God. Anyway, last week on the podcast, we talked about how my theater matters, and it was Matt Rippey's inspired notion to spend this week of Shakespeare's birthday talking about why my Willie matters. So he gathered the actors currently touring the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged or revised in the UK, Gary Fannin, Ben Stratton, Matt Pearson, along with technical director Davey Naylor and DSM Penny Ailes, to talk about how and why their Willie matters to them.
My Willie matters. Why does my Willie matter to the rest? Why does William Shakespeare matter to the rest of the world? I have no idea. I couldn't possibly hazard a guess. But why William Shakespeare matters to me is really quite easy to answer. It's the "What a Piece of Work Is Man" speech, which is, of course, you know, Hamlet talking about, you know, what it means to be alive and his own mortality and suicide. You know, for me, those words are like the most amazing words ever strung together in the English language. And having lost someone very close to me to depression, suicide, just to be able to stand on a stage in front of an audience and share those words means so much to me. And maybe that's why Shakespeare is so relevant and important and means so much to people today, is because, you know, for me it's the "What a Piece of Work of Man" speech. You know, for someone else it might be, you know, the growing old. It might be the Tempest. It might be the young romance. It might be Romeo and Juliet. You know, it might be something from the comedies. But I think for those who love their Shakespeare, it's because they found something that. A passage, maybe, or a sonnet that makes their soul sing. And for me, it's "What a Piece of Work Is Man." So for that, I say thank you, William Shakespeare, whoever you are, or if you were, thank you for your words. Austin Titchener. This is Gary Fannin.
So yeah, I think Willie matters a lot, and also just want to shout out a big happy birthday to the big guy while we're here. But this reminds me of something that used to happen a lot when we were at the Criterion in the West End. You know, like on a Thursday matinee, we'd get like school groups coming in. And we'd see, like, these, you know, 13, 14-year-olds, you know, and they'd sit there at the top of the show, and they'd have their arms folded, and they'd look like they were bored. And they almost had, like, an aggressive look on their face, like, yeah, come on, entertain me, do your best. And by the end of the show, they were sitting on the edge of their seats, they were leaning forward, they were laughing, and you could just see they were so excited. And I think, you know, for so many of us, that first attitude of sitting there with their arms folded, that's what we think Shakespeare is, because we had bad teachers at school. I was taught Shakespeare by a baseball coach. So I didn't have a good exposure to Shakespeare. But obviously the beauty of the language, yes, of course, and the stories, they're just as relevant, obviously, today. And the language, which, you know, language is changing, always changing, but it's beautiful, and it's a reflection of, you know, 400 years ago. And, so I think it's hugely important, and I think the Redoux Shakespeare Company does a great service by making it really accessible to especially young people. So that's why I think Shakespeare matters, and I'm just feel really grateful to be part of this company, to get to share it to the masses. So thanks.
Benjamin Stratton, my Willie matters because without it I would be half the man I am today, quite literally. Really, William Shakespeare is the reason why I want to be an actor. His writing transcends time. His themes are relevant even today. the fact that he could predict wireless communication in the 21st century still astounds me with two mobile kinsmen. But in all seriousness, I remember seeing a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream when I was about 14 at the Royal Shakespeare Company, and it still is to this date the funniest, most exciting, most inspiring thing I've ever seen. I never got to that stage in my life where Shakespeare was boring or not interesting. I've always been interested in it. And really, I just, if I can inspire one other person to love Shakespeare as much as I do, then I will die a very happy man.
I'm Matt Pearson, and this is why my Willie matters, with thanks to Google and to Penny Ailes, who will assist me.
Lend me your ears.
For a second.
More fool you.
If you don't like Shakespeare, and I'm afraid you're...
in a pickle.
Because for the next couple of minutes, I'm gonna...
wear my heart upon my sleeve.
And say he was probably the single most influential person in the history of the English language. Or, if you prefer...
the Queen's English.
If you don't like Shakespeare, then...
the game is up.
It's a...
foregone conclusion.
That you can probably quote Shakespeare...
to your heart's content.
Every single day without even realizing it. Even the most...
stony-hearted...
among you will know...
the long and short of it is...
that when it comes to Shakespeare, you can't have...
too much of a good thing.
And...
the truth will out.
Because although the man himself...
has seen better days...
being...
dead as a doornail...
and...
cold as a stone...
he's not exactly in his...
salad days.
He was a playwright...
fit for the gods.
And since he was such a genius, clearly...
bore a charmed life.
Now, I don't want to...
lay it on with a trowel.
But Shakespeare in language can really...
make your hair stand on end.
Whether his plays have you...
in stitches.
Or...
set your teeth on edge.
You can quote him...
forever and a day.
It doesn't matter if you're a...
star-crossed lover.
Who enjoys making...
the beast with two backs.
Or a...
night owl.
Who...
has not slept a wink.
There really is a quote for everything. Shakespeare is...
the be-all and end-all.
If you don't believe me, then you are...
the devil incarnate. Off with your head.
And...
good riddance.
You're a...
sorry sight.
I'm going to give you...
short shrift.
And...
send you packing.
Because you'll be...
hoist by your own petard.
I've gotta go and...
vanish into thin air.
Now. Better not go on too long, since...
brevity is the soul of wit.
Bye-bye.
Parting is such sweet sorrow.
The end.
I'm Michael Whitmore, director of the Folger Shakespeare Library in Washington, D.C., and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? There are so many places you can't RSC us. Way too many to count. So let's focus on the places you can RSC the RSC. This spring of 2013, you can see us in Urbana, Illinois, and Columbia, Maryland in the U.S. And in the U.K., you can see us in Keswick, Kendall, Bradford, Durham, Wakefield, Bracknell, Canterbury, Newbury, Guildford, Oxford, Croydon, Hedge End, Shanklin, Yeovil, Exeter, Swindon, Crawley, Tunbridge Wells, Tewkesbury, Bromsgrove, Newtown, Bridport, Bunchtable, Solihull, Hereford, Harlech, Great Yarmouth, High Wycombe, Camberley, Surrey, Hastings, East Dulwich, Everest, With, Southport, Lincoln, Barnsley, Barrow, Inverness, Leeds, Ayr, Stirling, South Shields, Musselboro, and London! London for 4 weeks at the Leicester Square Theatre. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. Well, not wanting to be left out on this side of the pond, I reached out to a bunch of stateside RSC actors to send me their recorded thoughts. I got a great response, as you'll hear, because almost all of our actors have the technology now to send me recordings on their smartphones. This is a very exciting development. This could revolutionize podcasting because the guys can just send me their thoughts and we won't have to work out our schedules, so we're in the same room when we record. It might cut down on the conversation, be more like monologues, but still. Even Mick Orff, who by his own admission is technologically challenged, just recently got an iPhone, so I was able to talk him through how to make a recording and send it to me. The result was astounding.
Austin, this thing is totally awesome. It really works. It's like recording me right now. I tested it out, and it really works. This iPhone is amazing. You were right. You're very smart. Oh, man, I didn't believe it when you said I could do this. I can't believe I'm sending you a message from so far away and that other people will hear it on the podcast. Very, very cool. The wonders of modern technology. I love it. Oh, crap.
Well, the fact that he sent it to me was astounding, not so much what he said. We'll come back to Mick after he sorted himself out. Right now, we definitely have to hear from Reed Martin.
William Shakespeare, the greatest playwright in history, although I will say he's not as prolific as he used to be. I just don't see a lot of new plays being written by William Shakespeare. But his old stuff is good. I admire it. People say, the reduced Shakespeare company, aren't you mocking Shakespeare? Well, maybe. I think all of our shows are a celebration of the subject matter, but irreverently performed. So we love Shakespeare, but I guess maybe we mock sort of the pretentiousness. Now, people say, if Shakespeare were alive today, what would he be doing? Well, he'd be kicking and screaming inside of his coffin, obviously. But they also say, wouldn't Shakespeare be spinning in his grave if he knew about the reduced Shakespeare company? Well, true story. Our first UK tour, this would have been 1990, Jess and Adam and I went to Stratford-upon-Avon. We visited Shakespeare's grave. We put our ear to the ground. We put our hand on the statue, and we detected no seismic activity whatsoever. So I think we can safely say Shakespeare is not spinning in his grave because of the reduced Shakespeare company. Now, I would also say this. Shakespeare is not only an artist. He was a very good businessman, by all accounts. And so, I guess in that spirit, I'd like to say if you wanted to know more about my thoughts about Shakespeare, you could listen to the Reduced Shakespeare radio show, our BBC World Service radio series, available at iTunes. Or you could buy Reduced Shakespeare, the complete guide for the attention-impaired abridged, published by Hyperion, available at Amazon. Thanks, Willie. Happy birthday.
I also heard from Jeff Marlowe.
Jeff Marlowe here. My first experience with my Willie was at Stratford-on-Avon with the other RSC, where I saw Kenneth Branagh play Henry V live on stage. I was 10, something like that, and there were swords and shields and armor and fighting and yelling and fog and smoke, and I thought it was the coolest thing I'd ever seen. And I just fell in love with Shakespeare from then on. I thought I was going to go to college and become a Shakespeare scholar, a professor, but then I realized over time that it's much more fun to speak his words and play around with his words and reduce his words than it is just to sit in a library and read his words.
Mick Orff did manage to send me a second recording.
Whoops. Okay, sorry about that. Stay focused, stay focused. Shakespeare. I got a little sidetracked. I'm like people's parents when you call them and like they get an answering machine and it's all this technology. You call someone's parents and you hear this like long pause. Go. Go. It's on. Go. Hi. You've reached Danny and Barb. We can't come to the phone right now, but leave us a message after the beep tone. Thanks. Okay, now turn it off. Turn it off. I'm like that, but with this iPhone. I've become my parents. My parents or someone else's parents. All right, sorry. Oh, crap. Shoot.
Good God, I keep thinking I'm going to hear the recording of his own car crash. I also heard from Michael Faulkner.
Hi, this is Michael Faulkner, one very small portion of the ever-expanding reduced universe. And I love my Willie because he wrote fart jokes that junior high school kids can get 400 years later. And I'm not talking about, almost fart jokes, like King Lear saying, blow winds, crack your cheeks. No, that's something that the RSC would turn into a fart joke. But I'm talking about actual fart jokes. In Comedy of Errors, Dromio of Ephesus says to Dromio of Syracuse when they're fighting, A man may break a word with you, sir, and words are but wind. Aye, and break it in your face, so he break it not behind. I was teaching teenagers how to act Shakespeare back at South Coast Repertory Theater in the early 2000s, and I remember doing Comedy of Errors and with these group of junior high kids, and the look on the seventh grade girl's face who was playing Dromio of Ephesus when she got that joke, priceless. Thanks, Willie.
And then finally, I heard from Mick Orff again.
All right, I'm on it this time. I mean it. Focused. Shakespeare. Seriously, I played William Shakespeare in 1996 at the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair, and it was one of the most fun times I ever had. And the closest I've ever felt like to being a celebrity, because when people come to a Renaissance Fair, they want to see William Shakespeare. And I did all kinds of research and learned so much about him, and it was really fun. We bent some of the historical stuff, so he was like, you know, friends with, or like rivals with Christopher Marlowe and Francis Bacon and all these other guys, Edward Elaine. And, but it was great, and I got to do other stuff too. I had a big sword fight in the chess match, and Queen Elizabeth was in one of my shows, and mostly I just got to run around being a big ham, and I used this big, you know, master thespian voice, William Shakespeare, hello, it's me. Even though they say that's not how he would have talked, he would have had more like a country dialect and been real quiet and shy, and he was this upstart young guy, but I kind of did him as a big ham, because that's more fun for like an outdoor festival. And anyway, happy birthday, William Shakespeare. I wonder what you would think of an iPhone. It would probably verily blow thine mind.
Fortunately, just this last weekend, I also got to actually see, perform with, and sit down and have an actual conversation with both Dustin Sullivan and Dominic Conti. Dominic Conti, have you done a lot of Shakespeare? Have you played with your Willie?
I don't know what a lot is. I know I've done some.
Okay.
Right? Like, let's count them out here. Twelfth Night.
Nice.
Andrew and Twelfth Night.
That's good casting, actually.
I think so.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that. I'd like to do that again. Yeah. I think I could. The Lion in Midsummer Night's Dream.
One of the Mechanicals. You'd be great as one of the Mechanicals.
I want to do that again, too, actually. And then Guildenstern and Hamlet. Is that it? Oh, and then Burghetto and Tis Pity She's a Whore. That's not Shakespeare.
No,
so.
It's not Shakespeare, okay. But still it's verse.
In the style.
And why do you want to do these roles again? What was it about the first time that you didn't get?
They're just so damn fun. I don't know if I did or didn't get it, but I'd like to just try another version, you know?
Yeah.
I was thinking, because we were saying, well, we're going to talk about Shakespeare, and I play the roles, and I want to play the roles. I want to keep playing the roles where I don't gab a lot. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't need to play it. I don't have to have a lot of things to say. Like, if you think about it, Andrew doesn't have a lot of lines.
No,
he just does a lot of fun shit.
Yeah. That's interesting. That's so interesting.
Same with the Lion. He doesn't say squat.
No,
you know, hardly.
Great, still. That's so interesting. I've never heard that angle. That there's a lot of great parts in Shakespeare that don't require a lot of speaking of the verse.
No, and sometimes it's sort of tricky. Like, I want to be known as the guy who like does all the knucklehead roles.
Yeah, well,
you know. But then you got to come in, and I don't want to bother with the monologues and all the chittity chat
and the text analysis and the scansion.
I don't want that. No, I want to fall down. And Shakespeare lets you do that.
Well, and of course Shakespeare had his clowns. You know, he wrote the plays with a company of actors in mind.
Yeah, and those guys would clown. Probably literally.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that this is a unfair comparison. I think, you know, here in the British Shakespeare Company, we're exactly like Shakespeare. We write our scripts with our actors in mind.
And in verse.
Yeah. And in verse, although we haven't written a verse one yet, although the Idiotity is in the iambic heptameter.
Heptameter. Yeah.
But that's cool that there are these other Shakespeare shows out there. Like Everest. They're waiting for you to climb.
Yeah, I mean, The Fool doesn't have a lot of lines in King Lear. I'd like to take that on someday, but that would take some serious text analysis because you'd have to figure some stuff out, so maybe not.
I want to see you playing more of Shakespeare's Rude Mechanicals, for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would take on Bottom, but I think I'm more like... I'd like to try the Wall sometime, you know, or Quincy, you know?
Yeah.
That would be, you know, that kind of stuff is what I like, you know?
We're gonna
Bottom's
get,
a little too chatty.
We're going to get you there. We're absolutely going to get you
there. Yeah, I think that would be a nice thing.
Yeah. So, Dustin Sullivan, tell me about your Willie.
My Willy. Oh, where to begin?
And does it matter?
I'm so single. I mean,
Shakespeare.
When you asked about this, it took me back to some fond memories because.
Really?
In the prior words of our President Obama, my feelings about Willie evolved over time.
Yes, that's interesting that you say that because I think ours all have.
Right? And
yes.
I definitely, in high school, I remember reading and kind of thinking, like, oh, okay, it's fine. Yeah. And then in college, I think maybe just to be contrarian, it's hard to remember the exact purpose.
Right.
I was definitely like, I hate Shakespeare. I don't understand the point. It's very boring. It's not. It doesn't excite me in any way.
It sounds like you're such a jerk.
I'm down on everything.
Yeah,
I'm
really.
A negative
yes.
Nancy.
Yeah.
and then senior year in college, I ended up performing Romeo and Juliet three times, three different ways. I did the production, the normal show, and I was Friar Lawrence. And then I did Shakespeare's R&J, that adaptation with four guys, and I played Juliet, basically. Uh-huh. And then I did the musical version as Romeo.
Wow.
And so I was attacking it from all these different angles. There was a lot of, like, sitting down and, like, really digging in, and all of a sudden it was like, what, this, I mean, there is so much happening.
Yeah.
And these characters are so fascinating. I mean, Juliet still, I wish I wasn't so old that I could jump back into that part, because she's crazy, and it's so amazing how he wrote her, and... And so all of a sudden, like in the course of that 1 year, the whole thing opened up, and I was like, I want to do this all the time.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Was there a moment, like a light switch moment, where you go, oh, I get it? Or was it cumulative?
Ooh.
Was it?
I can't think of an exact moment within the play. It certainly, I think it really clicked the most during the Shakespeare's R&J.
Okay.
Because it didn't become about anything but the language. Like, it wasn't about, like, gender or anything. It was four guys sitting at a table going, like, what are you really saying here? Like, what are you trying to get across?
Right.
And, and also Joe Calarco, who's directing it, there was a way that he talked to us about the language that it really sank in deeper than it ever had before.
Yeah. Who's the best Shakespearean that you've ever seen?
I mean, honestly, best Shakespearean and best actor in things outside of it is Mark Rylance.
Really?
He's a small, like the slender, teeny man. Like, I met him in person very briefly. He's quiet, and he just blows your mind. And there's something magical about his performance because you can see how it's being, the phrase, the pasta's being made, how the sausage is made. You can see it as he's doing it, but it doesn't matter because it's so flawless.
Interesting. And such an ease, command of the language.
It is. And you can kind of count on in every show that he does, he allows himself like one moment to explode. Mm-hmm. He keeps it very level, very level and like comedic and great. And then one outburst where the volume goes up and then it comes right back down.
Right.
He doesn't overextend.
You know, I was saying I don't know when the light switch went off for me, but I think one time went off. When I was in college, I saw a production of Hamlet. John Vickery played Hamlet. Vickery's gone on. He was the original Scar in the musical of Lion King, for instance. But he's a classical actor, and he and I actually worked together on a TV movie in L.A. once, and so I got to be friendly with him. And super nice guy, and I got to say, and then I brought in the program because I still had the program of his Hamlet. I just thought it was just so, you know, again, facility with the language. It just becomes conversation. It's not poetry. It is poetry, but they're just saying it as conversation. And then I saw last summer in 2012, I saw Simon Russell Beale in Timon of Athens, which was a great performance and a great production of a not great play.
Could be better.
What's funny to me, I don't think I had that a single light bulb moment, but I know I grew up seeing a lot of Shakespeare at American Conservatory Theater in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you'd see the various movies that you would see. I saw the Laurence Olivier versions of Richard III and Henry V. But for me, it was always, even from the beginning, even when I sort of didn't get it, I thought, I love this music. To me, it felt like a form of music that I didn't always understand, but I really loved the sound of it. And so for me now, when I'm speaking it, it's like I'm playing an instrument. There's something, it feels...
I like that a lot. And that actually, that would explain my feelings, actually, because now that I think about it, one of my first experiences really, like, hearing it was... Oh, the Romeo and Juliet, the Baz Luhrmann.
Oh, yeah?
And there's not a lot of musicality. I mean, I love Leonardo DiCaprio as an actor, but there was not a lot of musicality when he did Shakespeare. And I was kind of like, I don't... What is this? Like, why are we...
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, he's giving a very film performance that's less about the language,
yeah,
and more about, well, I played Claudius a couple of times because, as you know, I am the personification of evil. Before I joined the RSC, and there's this, when you get to delve into the language, and when, you know, they always say everything is right there for you in the Shakespeare. Well, that's not strictly true. You know, you still have to kind of figure shit out.
Oh, absolutely. It's, yeah, you know, it's fun because, you know, it's not good to compete against other actors, I guess. You know, we shouldn't do that. But, yeah, like, there is a broad range of going, like, oh, I can see what else could be done in there. There is, yeah, so much variation that can be,
yeah,
mined.
Yeah.
And if one genius option isn't always the only genius option.
Right, right.
And you can see there's a very clear path from, like, oh, that guy doesn't know what he's saying. Like, yeah, you really have to invest in every single line. You can't get away with just slacking off on any part of it.
That's really true. No, you're absolutely right. And what I love is when directors and actors go, you know what? We're not really nailing these 8 lines. Let's cut them.
That's the easiest choice.
Yeah. I mean, why do it generically? If you can't figure it out, make it real, make it important to you. And I have no problem with cutting Shakespeare because not all of it is as good as some of the other bits.
Yeah, you know, it's true. For all the talk of him being an absolute genius, and he is. Like,
yes,
of course these plays are brilliant. Yes. But
so we stipulate for the judge.
I mean, come on.
Yes.
But there are moments in almost every one of his shows where you're like, really? Is it necessary? Like, you sank a little low, or you're getting a little too lofty. Like, let's
right,
just what was
the
audience.
Yeah, what was the story again? What journey are we on? Oh, well. Well, the boy knew what he was doing, for sure.
Or girl. Whoever they may be.
Yes, yes. Her Willy matters, too. Her Willy matters. That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Tell us why your Willy matters via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, addle-pated clock Pole, who is not for all markets, Matthew Croak. Music by John Weber and Garage Band. You're also about to hear a little number from the Reduced Shakespeare Radio Show, which is available on CD from Uproar in the States, Laughingstock in the UK, and digitally on iTunes around the world. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Larissa Dial. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Michael Whitmore, director of the Folger Shakespeare Library in Washington, D.C., and the students of Bermuda High School and Saltus Grammar School in Hamilton, Bermuda. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 333,999th, of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
That soft wood light through yonder window breaks.
A little rhythm is all it takes. Friends, Romans, countrymen, I pray they rap, rap, and rap again. William Shakespeare sucks. Don't be silly. All you gotta do is just rap your willy. Rap it.
A horse, a horse. My kingdom for a horse. That's a hunchback rapping.
Ha, of course.
If all the world is indeed a stage, you can tell your King John to bend over my page. Kenneth Branagh, rap your willy.
Mel Gibson,
rap your willy.
Emma Thompson,
rap your willy. If you got one.
If we rappers have offended, think but this and all is bended. When we started rapping here, Shakespeare boredom disappeared. If you think our song is crashed, you can kiss my lily white tookas. William Shakespeare sucks.
Don't be silly. All you gotta do is just rap your willy.
Three white boys, hear how they rap, hear how they rap.
Their Shakespeare rap is the name of the game.
They blend the verse and they should be ashamed.
Especially since they sound terribly lame. Like
three white boys.
You and your partner may be star-crossed lovers, but when the heavens rain, remember to wear your rubbers. Whether you use a condom, the inner tube of a tire, or just some plain old plastic wrap, be sure to wrap your willy.
Yo, Romeo!
Wrap your willy!
Verona, homeboy!
Wrap your willy!
Wrap, wrap,
wrap your willy!
Wrap, wrap,
wrap,
cha-cha-cha!
This podcast
podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.